Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football fans, welcome to another episode of The Call Sheet. Kevin Smith with you. Before we get started, if you can, subscribe to our YouTube channel, FFSN YouTube. Like our videos. Give us an opportunity to grow what we're trying to do here at Fans First. And we would love that. Any opportunities you get to spread the word about what's going on here, man. Any support would be wonderful. We've been really hard at work over the last couple of weeks, obviously getting ready for the draft, and now it's over. Okay, now we got to look back at it, and here in episode 54, we're going to do that. We're going to take a look at some of the more interesting drafts in both the NFC and AFC. I'm going to pick a couple teams from each conference and kind of zero in on what they did. Not necessarily the best or the worst, just the drafts that I thought were interesting, and that's a broad term, and we'll try to hone in on what we mean by that as we go. But as we always do, episode 54, let's talk about a player who wore that number. First of all, shout out to Pittsburgh Steelers second round draft pick Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. Guy's going to be a fan favorite in Pittsburgh. He's going to wear number 54. So we can start the episode by talking about a guy who hasn't worn it yet, but hopefully will wear it for a long time at the center of the Steelers line. But the guy I really want to shout out to is Chris Spielman. As a lifelong Pittsburgh Steelers fan, there's only two players from other teams who were my favorite players in the league at that time who were not Steelers. My favorite players, yeah, when I was younger, they were always Steelers, beginning with Jack Lambert, and then probably all the way up into Hines Ward, Jerome Bettis, Troy Polamalu, all those guys, right? But two players in the league who were not Steelers were my favorites for a time. One was Ronnie Lott, the safety for the 49ers, and the other was Chris Spielman, who wore number 54, mostly in his career with the Detroit Lions, ended up in Buffalo and then a season in Cleveland. But man, Chris Spielman was a guy that when I was playing, and I really just tried to emulate Chris Spielman, never got close, never a player on that level, man, but his style of play, physical, relentless, downhill, attacking. I just thought, man, that's the way you play defense. And I love to watch him. You know, a couple Chris Spielman fun facts. He was the first high school athlete of any kind to ever be featured on a Wheaties box. And he was featured on a Wheaties box when he was a senior at Massillon High School in Ohio. They were kind of a perennial state champion there. And he showed up on a Wheaties box for being the high school football player of the year in Ohio in the 1980s, early 1980s. Great story about Chris Spielman and his decision to attend Ohio State. He told his father was a diehard Buckeye fan. He told his father he wanted to go to Michigan. And his father told him, in all seriousness, if you go to Michigan, you are no longer welcome in this house. And that was not a joke. That was his father being dead serious. He said, you're going down the road to Columbus, and there's no debate about this. And if you choose to go to Michigan, you are no longer welcome in this house. Wow. That is throwing it down. That's some old school parenting. You know, that's parenting in 1983. I'm fairly certain that if you parented like that today and you meant it, that they'd call the cops on you. But so Chris Spielman attends Ohio State and he caps his career as a Buckeye, his last regular season game as a Buckeye playing against Michigan in 1987. He makes 29 tackles in a game, in one game. Chris Spielman, 29 tackles in his final football game at Ohio State as the Buckeyes upset Michigan. Wow, he was a tackling machine. Bednarik Award winner, as the best linebacker, All-American, et cetera, and went on to have a great career with the Detroit Lions predominantly, and then the Bills, shortened a little bit by some neck injuries. And Chris Spielman probably retired a little sooner than maybe he would have liked, but he's gone on to have a great broadcasting career, and I'm always happy whenever I get to see Chris Spielman, number 54, one of my absolute favorite football players of all time. Okay, so let's turn our attention to the draft. And like I said, I'm gonna pick one team from each conference, and we'll talk about why I thought their draft was interesting. The draft as a whole is a fascinating thing. It's really the beginning of a process. I think in many ways we feel like it's the end of a process, and it is in the sense that it's the end of the college process for a lot of these guys. But really, for the professionals, it's the beginning. For the teams that are drafting them, it's the beginning. I likened it. I was talking about this with Jeff Hartman on our Whip Around show, and I kind of likened it to preparing a big meal, right? I mean, the draft is really just the shopping for the groceries. But now, you know, you bought the groceries, and now you got to go home and prepare the meal, man. Now you really got to get to work. And, you know, we're not going to know if these teams wound up as five-star Michelin chefs or a bunch of college kids, you know, overcooking their ramen noodles. We're not going to know the answer to that for a while now, right? You got to get these guys into the lab, man. You got to get them. You got to grind them through your OTAs. They got to learn the playbook. You got to acclimate them to the system, meet their teammates, and we'll see. We'll see down the road. But it's fun to talk about. And we don't know how it's going to turn out, obviously. Everybody's giving them draft grades, which I think is so silly. But whatever. We like that part of the process. And so I'm not giving out any grades here, but I do want to look at some teams whose drafts I thought were interesting. So let's start in the NFC with the Chicago Bears. And there is no question that the Bears have improved immensely on paper this season. I mean, they added DeAndre Swift and Keenan Allen and Gerald Everett during free agency to a skill position group that already had a couple of good players in DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. And yeah, that was a big leap forward for them. That was something that obviously I think helped them improve. But drafting Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, that's really put this offense, or this offseason, I should say, over the top. You can credibly argue right now that the Bears have the best offense in the NFC North. And, you know, if they can match their execution with their talent, they'll be in the mix to challenge for the division title. But when you use that term execution, when it comes to the Bears, especially when you're talking about quarterbacks, they take Caleb Williams number one overall. It gets tricky. It gets tricky. When you use the word execution, it always reminds me of the great quote from former Tampa Bay coach John McVay, the original Tampa Bay coach, father of Sean McVay. And John McVay's Tampa Bay teams lost the first 26 games of that team's existence. And in the midst of an 0-14 season, 0-14 season in 1976, they asked John McVay about the execution of his team And he said, I'm in favor of it. That's an awesome quote, right? What do you think about the execution of your team? I'm in favor of it. Great, great quote. And I think about that. We talk about Bears quarterbacks because you bring in Caleb Williams and everybody's excited, but now you got to get him to execute. You got to get him to play well. And that has been something that the Bears traditionally have not been able to do. I mean, if you go back to Jim McMahon, who quarterbacked them to their big Super Bowl win in 1985, when he left the team in the late 80s, they've had one quarterback who kind of stood out, and it was Jay Cutler. And really, Jay Cutler put up good numbers, but he ended his career as their quarterback with a 500 record, 51-51. And he had one career playoff win, one. The other quarterbacks from Jim McMahon to Caleb Williams are as follows. You ready for this? Here's quite a list of quarterbacks. Chicago Bears quarterbacks from Jim McMahon to Caleb Williams. Steve Fuller, Mike Tomczak, Jim Harbaugh, Peter Tom Willis, Steve Walsh, Eric Kramer, Dave Krieg, Rick Meyer, Shane Matthews, Rex Grossman, Cade McNown, Jim Miller, Chris Chandler, Cordell Stewart, Chad Hutchinson, Kyle Orton, Jimmy Clausen, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, Nick Foles, Brian Hoyer, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Nathan Peterman, Trevor Siemian, and Tyson Bagent, I can't remember how to pronounce Tyson's last name, the Tyson kid from Shepherd University, where Jeff Hartman went to college. That's been their list of starting quarterbacks for the past 30-plus year. I mean, no wonder there's concern that Caleb Williams could be a flop. The Bears have overwhelmingly flopped when it comes to quarterbacks. In fairness, they haven't had a quarterback as talented as Williams in maybe ever, right? And given the wealth of weapons at his disposal, and he's got a solid, if not spectacular, offensive line, the structure for success exists. So it's now up to head coach Matt Eberflus and the new offensive coordinator there, Shane Waldron, who they brought over from Seattle and who had some success in Seattle resurrecting the career of Geno Smith. It's now up to them to develop Williams. Obviously, the quarterback track record is grisly. And Williams, for all of his ability, he does make some people nervous with his demeanor. I mean, I have no idea how it's going to turn out in Chicago, but I do know this. The Bears are going to be interesting on offense, and that's something nobody's been able to say in a long, long time. So stay tuned for how it turns out with Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. All right, on to another NFC team, the Philadelphia Eagles. So as a resident of Southern New Jersey, I am surrounded by Eagles fans. I hear a lot from Eagles fans, a lot of hand-wringing. You know, Eagles fans are typically angsty, as many Philadelphia fans are. They won the Super Bowl back in 2017, and that took the edge off for a little bit. But man, the Super Bowl loss 2 years ago to Kansas City, the way that game went down, and then the way that last season deteriorated, the Eagles started 10-1, and then just kind of collapsed, has Eagles fans on edge again. And we've been hearing all offseason about their defense, how they couldn't stop the run, how their corners are terrible. And the consensus amongst the Birds faithful heading into the draft was that they desperately needed help at corner. And then the big debate was over which one they preferred. And there were two names I heard a lot of guys arguing in favor of Quinyon Mitchell, the really athletic, talented corner out of Toledo. And his length and athleticism and his physicality, that seemed to make him a prototype for the position. He kind of reminds me of a more athletic version of Joey Porter Jr., who went to the Steelers last year, had a great rookie season. But other Eagles fans, they liked Cooper DeJean, the corner out of Iowa, predominantly because of his versatility. He can play corner, he can play in the slot, he can play at safety. And they like him because of his scheme fit. He's got great eyes and he's got great instincts and he's a really good zone corner. And you got Vic Fangio as the new DC in Philly. And he's going to play a lot of cover 2, 4, and 6 zone looks. And so DeJean's kind of a perfect match there. And so, you know, you get a lot of arguing over the sports talk radio, which is really big in Philly. You get a lot of arguing where you got Joe from Fishtown who wants Mitchell. And then you got Anthony from South Philly who thinks Joe's an idiot and he wants DeJean. And very entertaining stuff. And the crazy thing is, The Eagles got them both. You know, and how it happened is very interesting. Many thought that DeJean would go late in round one, but then you had this tremendous run on quarterbacks and receivers and offensive tackles. 21 out of the 32 first round draft picks were selected from those three positions, and that pushed the corners down the board. And so DeJean fell into round two. And I think he probably also fell because some teams really weren't sure. You know, can he be an outside corner, or is he going to fit more at safety? So that scheme fit issue probably caused him to drop a little bit. Regardless, when he was still hanging around there in the late 30s, the Eagles decided to make a move. They traded with Chicago up to number 40, and they got him. And they wound up with both guys, DeJean and Mitchell. And by the way, that trade was one of the eight that Philadelphia made during the draft. Eight trades. And those trades wound up netting the Eagles picks in round 3, 4, and 5 next year. Helped them land a really versatile running back in Will Shipley from Clemson, who I like a lot. And then helped them land Shipley's college teammate, legacy linebacker Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who many people will remember. His dad played for the Eagles for a long time in the 90s and early 2000s and was an excellent linebacker there. So all in all, Philly got not one, but two of the best corners in the draft. They selected a potential fan favorite in Trotter, a nice complement at running back to Saquon Barkley, and then they addressed a bunch of future needs by loading up on draft picks for next year. So as the great Larry David would say, pretty, pretty, pretty good by the Eagles. One more. All right, I'll do this quick. You can't talk about interesting drafts in the NFC without talking about what Atlanta did, the Michael Penix controversy. I'm not going to rehash all of this. I'll just say the following. I don't have any problem with what the Falcons did in identifying Penix as their quarterback of the future. It's easy to understand why that they would do this. He has got a tremendous arm. He is the most accurate quarterback in college football. I mean, I've had NFL coaches tell me that the thing that they desire most in quarterbacks coming into the league is accuracy, because the windows to throw into in the NFL are so small. And that NFL open is such a tiny thing compared to college open. And you got to be able to put the ball on the money. And Penix, my gosh, he can do that and then some. And Atlanta, I mean, they're drafting at number 8 overall, and they figure they're going to be pretty good next year, which means it's unlikely they'll get a shot at a top 10 QB. You know, they brought in Kirk Cousins, but he's 36 years old. They got to think about quarterbacks of the future. And the recent studies have shown us that if you don't take your quarterback in the top 10, the chances that he'll be a franchise guy drop precipitously. I mean, dramatically once you leave the top 10. So if you're Atlanta, you're thinking, we're probably not going to be a top 10 team next year or the year after that. The quarterback class in next year's draft is said to be thin. We're not going to get another shot at this. Let's do it now, man. And we love Penix, and let's get him. Let's take our guy. I get all that. That's all well and good. But you knew all this when you signed Cousins. You knew all this when you signed Cousins. That's the thing I don't get. And you still gave him $100 million guaranteed, and then you didn't tell him you were drafting Michael Penix until you were on the clock drafting Michael Penix. So you screwed up the lead up to this. You screwed up the planning and the preparation by giving Cousins all that money, and then you screwed up the optics of it all by not telling him. How's Kirk Cousins going to step into the huddle and command the room, so to speak, in Atlanta, knowing that his replacement is 20 feet away, watching every move he makes? What's it going to be like when Kirk Cousins throws his first couple picks of the season and, you know, the talk radio lights up with everybody crying that, you know, put Penix in? He's got $100 million in his pocket, so it's hard to feel too bad for Kirk Cousins. But from a football standpoint, this is bad. So, Atlanta, I get the evaluation, right? I don't get the execution. Okay, so those I think are three really interesting NFC teams and some of the things they did in the draft. On the other side, we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll look at the AFC. So come on back.
Hey.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Call Sheet. Kevin Smith with you, and we are running through some of the more interesting drafts that certain teams had. Last weekend, we did the NFC before the break, and now we'll focus on the AFC. Let's start in Denver, because Denver's another one of those teams that was after a quarterback, and they picked one. They picked the last one of the first round, and you think, hey, they picked the last QB of the first round. Where were they picking? 27, 28? Oh, no. They were picking at number 12. Six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks in this draft. None more interesting than Denver's selection of Bo Nix out of Oregon at number 12 overall. Very polarizing pick. Most pundits saw Nix as a day two selection. And you knew it was polarizing because almost immediately after the pick was made, Broncos head coach Sean Payton went on the Pat McAfee show and immediately started gushing about Nix. I mean, he raved about his football IQ, about how when they went to the pro day, when Nix did his visit with the Broncos, they got him into the classroom and they put stuff up on the board. And he could draw every route against every coverage, and they gave him the playbook, and he came back the next day and he had it memorized, and he talked to them about all their concepts, and on they went. And that may all be true, but it felt a little bit like overcompensation. You know, I think I likened it in an article I wrote recently to sometimes when you on Facebook when you see a married couple gushing about their spouse and telling the world how wonderful they are. And then you find out, you know, like a couple of days later, the husband's been sleeping on the couch for a month. You know, that sort of overcompensation often suggests that there's a, you know, maybe not everything is right. And I got the feeling that Peyton was trying to sell everybody on how much they loved Bo Nix, and maybe they did. But I think the national perception is that he was kind of blowing smoke because he was trying to justify the fact that Denver made a bit of a panic move, that the Broncos didn't expect five quarterbacks to go off the board before they picked at number 12. They needed a quarterback. Nix was the only guy remaining that you could even remotely justify as someone you could pick at number 12. We know that to be true now because after Nix was selected at number 12 overall, another quarterback wasn't taken until round 5. When Spencer Rattler went, like 130 picks later. So in essence, it was Nix at number 12 or nobody. And the Broncos didn't want to be left with nobody. And I mean, Peyton said that Nix was the number 3 quarterback on their board. And so for them to get him as the 6th quarterback chosen was a steal. I don't think anybody's going to call it a steal. In fact, ESPN's Todd McShay, he reported that he talked to about a dozen league executives and none of them applauded Denver's selection of Nix. McShay actually called the pick arrogant, which is not the first time that people have used that adjective in association with Sean McVay. So, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out, very much like Caleb Williams, right? You've got an interesting scenario occurring here. In the end, if it does work, Peyton will reserve the right to crow about it. You know, he can do the I told you so tour. But if it doesn't, this is a risky move. It's a risky move. Sean Payton may be hitching his wagon as the head coach in Denver to Bo Nix. And that could be risky because I think a lot of people see Bo Nix as a guy who will scuffle as a starter and then sort of retreat to a career as a competent NFL backup. I think that that's really where they see his arc taking him. And that's not going to be good for Sean Payton if it plays out like that. So absolutely, it'll be fascinating to see the Bo Nix era in Denver. All right, another team whose top pick drew some criticism, but for very different reasons, was the Las Vegas Raiders. They chose Georgia tight end Brock Bowers immediately after Nix with the number 13 overall pick. And it's interesting because the Raiders needed a quarterback too. I mean, it felt like there were seven teams that were in the quarterback market in round one. And there were really only six quarterbacks who you could justify taking in the first round. I mean, a lot of people were like, hey, look, there's only four. And Penix and Nix are not first round guys. But then Penix's stock rose as the draft got closer. Nobody ever really felt like Nix was a first round guy. But if you wanted a guy in the first round, he was the cutoff point. And then it was a big drop to Rattler and Michael Pratt of Tulane and guys like that. So six quarterbacks go, and the Raiders are the 17th. And they're sitting there at number 13 overall. And rather than trade out of the spot or you know, do something absurd, like try to force in a quarterback there, they go best player available. And they take Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, who there's no doubt he was deserving of being selected that high. A lot of people thought Bowers would go maybe number 9 to the Bears or number 10 to the Jets. Felt like he was a top 10 worthy pick. You know, my colleague Sean Gurley here at FFSN, I had him on the show last week, and Sean said that he feels like Bowers is one of the most pro-ready players in the draft, along with Joe Alt and Marvin Harrison. So no complaint with the player. But the pushback came from those who did not see tight end as a need in Las Vegas. I mean, the Raiders had just taken a tight end early in last year's draft. They drafted Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame, at number 35 overall last year. And most people believe that they had much bigger needs at corner and offensive tackle. And when they picked at number 13, only two offensive tackles had gone off the board. Seven would eventually go in round one. So there was plenty of offensive tackle talent left, and no corners had been drafted. Not a single defensive player actually had been drafted. No defensive player went until number 15. So Vegas, sitting there at 13, had their choice of the entire defensive board, but they opted for Bowers. And again, they had just taken a tight end a year earlier, and they didn't really use him that much. Michael Mayer only caught 27 passes as a rookie in Las Vegas. And so the question was, why take another tight end when you have bigger needs elsewhere and you didn't optimize the tight end you drafted last season? And really, the answer to that's pretty simple if you adhere to the best player available philosophy. Bowers was the best guy on the board. He had the chance to make the biggest impact for the Raiders. He provided better value, they felt, than if they, you know, reached for somebody else to fill a need. I mean, BPA versus need, that's an old argument. That's as old as the draft itself. It's going to be an issue whenever somebody kind of shakes up the board. In the case of the Raiders, the value that they get from Bowers, that's going to depend on how much they prioritize him in new offensive coordinator Luke Getsy's system. Getsy came over from Chicago last year, where Cole Kmet, who I mentioned earlier, had, you know, 90 targets and 73 receptions. So, you know, they used him pretty well. If Bowers is similarly involved, I think few people will complain about the pick. Plus, he's got some really talented skill guys at receivers in Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. He's got Mayer as a second tight end. It's going to be hard for teams to really, defenses to focus on Bowers. And he may have a big year as a rookie. But really, to satisfy the people who think that it was a mistake to take him at 13, Getsy's going to need to get him the ball a lot. All right. Steeler fans, I know there's a bunch of you out there. Let's save the best for last. Sorry for being a homer about this. But you cannot say that the Pittsburgh Steelers did not have a really interesting and effective draft and call that homerism, because that's been a universal opinion throughout the pundit world. The Steelers have gotten basically an A or an A plus in every post-draft analysis that I've seen. And again, it's silly to assign the grades, but the grades do give us an idea of how people perceive the draft. And in Pittsburgh's case, perception says they knocked it out of the park. Okay, why? Why did the Steelers, is everybody saying the Steelers ace the draft? Because they're forging an identity for their team. And then they're acquiring players who fit that identity. Since general manager Omar Khan took the reins in 2022 and tabbed Andy Weidel to be his wingman, Pittsburgh has completely rebuilt itself from the inside out. Here's a mind-boggling statistic. Because everybody, I think the national perception of Pittsburgh is this: they're tough, they're physical, they run the football, etc. It will be shocking to non-Steeler fans then to learn that between 2013 and 2022, the Steelers selected just one offensive or defensive lineman in rounds one and two. And that was defensive tackle Stephon Tuitt in the second round in 2014. They didn't select a single first-round pick on either line for 10 years, and they only selected one defensive lineman in that period. But since Khan and Weidel have come on board, they've been in Pittsburgh for two drafts, and in those two drafts, they have taken four linemen in the first two rounds, three offensive linemen and a defensive lineman. So, you know, you can really see how they are reprioritizing the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Broderick Jones in round one last year, defensive tackle Keanu Benton in round two, and then Troy Faltano and Zach Frazier, a couple of offensive linemen in rounds one and two this year. And then they went out and they got a fourth rounder, Mason McCormick, out of South Dakota State, who is a mauler, an absolute mauler. I mean, Mason McCormick is like a bare knuckle brawler. Raw, not going to be able to step on the field right away, man. He's got some technique work to clean up, but he's a guy, like, you know, out there throwing haymakers. So the Steelers, you know, again, they've traditionally been one of football's best run teams, but they slipped in that department in the waning years of Ben Roethlisberger's career, and now Khan and Weidel, with their emphasis on winning in the trenches, they're trying to bring it back, and the guys they're picking fit the mentality. Even the non-linemen that they selected fit that mindset. They're two third-rounders, both Wilsons. Roman Wilson, wide receiver from Michigan, and Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from NC State, both fit that identity. Roman Wilson is 5'11", 190 pounds, and he will get under your skin. He is a pest. He will block you 30 yards away from the play. He will block you to the whistle. He will block you until you get so frustrated that you grab him by the face mask and throw him down and get a 15-yard penalty, and then he'll clap at you. He's that guy. He's annoying as hell to play against. And he's also a pretty good slot receiver. But he's the kind of guy who will bloody his nose and will have no problem blocking despite his smaller stature. And the Steelers want those guys. And Peyton Wilson, I mean, if you get a chance, if you're a Steeler fan, even if you're a football fan, I mean, just go to YouTube and Google any kind of Peyton Wilson highlight film. I'm going to do a film breakdown on him soon. But you will see the motor, man. The motor, the athleticism, the physicality, the nastiness. That's all the stuff the Steelers are trying to rebuild themselves in the image of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Steelers are trying to build a team that is just going to be uncomfortable to play against. Really, at the end of the day, man, what do you want out of your football team? You want your football team to be a team that other teams don't want to play against. Not because you're fast and athletic. It's hard to play against teams that are super fast and athletic. The Miami Dolphins are hard to play against because they can score on any play. They can score from anywhere on the field. But I guarantee you this. You ask any football player, would you rather have to go up against that, you know, that team that can get to the perimeter and hit home runs all the time? Or would you rather go up against a team that's just going to punch you in the face for 60 minutes and just keep punching you in the face? And the answer is going to be, I'll take my chances against that speed team. Because getting punched in the face is no fun. And the Steelers are trying to build a punch-you-in-the-face team, and their draft was representative of that. Okay. So, those are my most interesting teams from the AFC. There's a lot more to talk about as far as the draft is concerned. On my Twitter, if you guys get a chance, man, you can follow me at KTSmithFFSN. But my hub now is at Coach's Call Sheet. And I'm putting everything that I do on that forum there. And I've been doing a draft profile of a player from the draft every single day and putting up a quick little profile on him with some video. And so you can check that out. And obviously, I'll keep doing my YouTube breakdowns. And they'll be up on FFSN and SCN YouTube. So, hope everybody enjoyed the draft. I hope your teams got some of the guys you wanted. It's going to be a long wait before we really get to see how these guys pan out. But there's plenty of talk to talk about between now and then. So, I hope you will continue to tune in here at the Call Sheet. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Take care.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.